Our beloved Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this gathering. We expect you to fill the meeting and sanctify every one of us. And may your glory fill the meeting. Pray that you will give all of us wisdom and revelation to speak to us through this wonderful second epistle of Peter. We desire to know how to go on. We desire to gain a rich entrance into the kingdom. And we pray that you will show us the way. And we pray for every one of us here that we will be blessed by you. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. How can I turn this one up a little bit? Like this. Okay. Well, the Lord is gracious bringing all of you here, even through a lot of trials, some suffering. Right. As the word in Peter says, the sufferings will bring glory to us. Right. And I really believe that the price to pay that you have paid in this trip coming here will not be compared and cannot be compared to the benefits and the glory that the Lord is going to show us through 2 Peter. Right. Amen. And praise the Lord for all the saints. It's not there anymore. For all the saints through Zoom, yeah, attending the conference through Zoom. Well, I'm supposed to give an introduction. Well, let me put it this way. I think for us, especially in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, his burden is to show us how to enter into the kingdom. A rich entrance, to have a very rich entrance into the kingdom. Right? His burden and what is in his heart is that all of us will make it. Right. Peter especially has a heart to shepherd the believers, because that is what the Lord asked him to do. You remember the Lord asked him, Peter, do you love me? Right? Of course, it is after Peter denied him 3 times. So the Lord asked him 3 times. 3 times is very good. First time, Peter, do you love me? Peter had a little confidence in the beginning. He says, yes, I love you. And the Lord says, then feed my lambs. And you have to shepherd my lambs, take care of the saints. And then he asks again the same question, Peter, do you love me? I think Peter didn't feel very good anymore. He remembered, oh no, I denied him 3 times. So the Lord was asking me a second time, do you love me? Oh, he barely got it out. Yes, Lord, you know, right? Peter says, you feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, take care of them. And he thought, well, that's it. Then the Lord asked him a third time, how do you like that, if you were Peter? Peter, do you love me? I think he couldn't answer that anymore. He said, Lord, you know. Because he was so confident. I'm going to follow you all the way to the cross. The Lord says, well, before the rooster will crow three times. Will crow, you will deny me three times. He remembered that. So I'm sure Peter really had a heart to shepherd the lamb, the churches. He really had a burden. So his first epistle, his first epistle is not as strong as the second epistle, although second epistle is short. Right. There was a need for a second epistle. Of course, in the first epistle, he showed us so many things. You can say in a general way, you are saved, you are redeemed. Right? And then your faith has to go through trials. And then you have to be holy, and we are born again by the incorruptible seed. These are all very general. And then he said we have to be pure, to drink the pure milk of the Word, that we can grow unto salvation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he showed us that we are the living stones to be built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And he also showed us, well, Christ died for us, right? And we were like sheep. We went astray, but the Lord died to bring us back. He's the shepherd of our soul. But then he also mentioned that Christ died on the cross not only for redemption, but to be what? Remember? An example. It's not only that he died there and he suffered on the cross, but his suffering on the cross is an example for us to follow. Right. We are very thankful he died. But how many took his crucifixion, his suffering, and his death on the cross? More than just a redemption. For you and forgiveness and cleansing. But as an example for you, that you should follow his footsteps. Footsteps to where? Footsteps to glory. Because without suffering, there is no glory. So Peter went on to show concerning the matter of the sufferings. And then he showed the practical way of building up the church, especially in chapter 5, how the elders should be an example to the flock. Right. So all of those are, in a way, wonderful, but general. So there's a need of second epistle. There is definitely a need of a second epistle. And here, his main burden is how to make it to the goal. So without Second Peter, we don't have a specific way to go on and to reach the goal. And the goal is the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is coming very soon. Very, very soon. In 1 Peter, he did say the Lord is coming soon. The time is near. The time is really near. Actually, all the apostles, Paul told us, the Lord himself says in the book of Revelation 2,000 years ago, behold, I'm coming, what? Quickly. People will say already 2,000 years and he still didn't come. Peter said that in chapter 3, right? And so people will say, nah, he's not coming. At least not very soon. It's already 2,000 years and he's not coming. What do you think? Is he coming or is he not coming? Hmm? Another 2,000 years? 200 years? 20 years? 2 years? Maybe? You should say, for us, maybe less than 2 years. Less than 2 years. Before we went into the book of Peter, you need to realize that the Lord is coming very soon. Whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, it doesn't really matter. But he is coming very soon. Let me remind you again concerning Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. If you read the book of Daniel, beginning in verse 24, chapter 9, in verse 24, the Lord told Daniel, 70 weeks are cut out for God's people and for Jerusalem, for the holy city. 70 weeks. And then you continue to say in verse 25, the 70 weeks, you have, what, 7, and then 62 weeks. Altogether, 69 weeks. And then he told us, at the end of the 69 weeks, what's going to happen? So what's going to happen? The Messiah is going to be cut off to die. At the end of the 69th week. And then Jerusalem is going to be destroyed by the coming prince, the Roman prince, coming in year 70, fully destroyed the temple and the city. And even the whole country was gone. That is the end of the 69th week. And it really happened. Whatever God has spoken will happen. Then the remaining 1 week was in verse 27. So what's going to happen in that remaining 1 week? The Lord is not going to keep us guessing. He will definitely tell us very clearly in the 1 week. That is the 70th week. We went through an update looking into the Hebrew Bible and also the Septuagint, the Greek Bible of the Old Testament. And the proper translation is starting in the 1 week. Right? Because you have 70 weeks and then you have 62 plus. Right, the 3-7, right? The 7 times 7, right? Right? And then you have the 1 week left. So that 1 week, what's going to happen? Someone, he, actually the word he is not even there. So it was understood, someone, he will make a covenant with many. So for 1 week is not directly connected to the covenant with many. So a lot of people were asking, but the covenant, the Abraham Accord didn't say it's only for 7 years. But it didn't have to say, because it didn't say in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that the covenant with many is for 1 week. That was our wrong understanding. Everybody understood that covenant must be for 1 week. But it isn't for 1 week. It just tells us that the 1 week, something is going to happen to show us that the 1 week is near. First point is the covenant with many by strength. One will establish a covenant with many. So that is related to the 1 week. It doesn't mean that a covenant will be limited to 1 week, but it's 1 week. It's right within that period, around that period, right, to show us that a 1 week is happening. So the covenant with many will happen. And for sure, this is the Abraham Accord, because there's none other. And I just heard the news yesterday morning. Netanyahu, after forming his government, there are three main things that he stressed that he's going to do as the prime minister. And one of these three is to promote and strengthen the Abraham Accord. And Saudi Arabia will be joining soon, which is a very important point. Right? That means the Abraham Accord is related to the beginning of the last week. It is related. So September 15 of 2020, the Abraham Accord was made, right, through Trump. Then the second point, the second sign of the last week is what? The sacrifices, the animal sacrifices. Because then that verse 27 says, and in the middle of the week, so something's going to happen for the beginning of the week. And now another thing is going to happen in the middle of the week. What's going to happen? My sacrifices and drink offering will be taken away. Right. So now we know what is the sign for the middle of the week. Last September 15. Exactly 2 years after the Abraham Accord was made. And Abraham Accord was made in September 15, 2020. And just last September 15, exactly the same date, 5 red heifer were transported from Texas to Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. Secretly. And they were perfect. And that is very necessary according to Numbers chapter 19, I believe, concerning the red heifer, which is necessary, the ashes is necessary for the purification of the temple place. Because without that, it is impossible for the Jews to start any kind of a worship or even sacrifices. Near 2,000 years, nobody discovered any perfect red heifer. And it has to be perfect. You cannot find any hair that is not red, okay? And I believe the last one, right, was about 2,000 years ago. Or is it the first one or the last one? By Moses, right? It was done by Moses, the red heifer. Then all of a sudden, 5 perfect red heifer was discovered in Texas. And the Lord raised up someone in Texas that has a burden to raise up this kind of a red heifer. And now, they're all 1 year old when it was delivered on September 15. Do you think it is an accident, coincident, that it was delivered at the same time, the same date, 2 years later. And they were 1 year old. That means by the fall, September of next year, 2023, they will be 2 years old. And, oh yeah, I'm sorry. Thank you. Right. They'll be 2 years old. That means the Jews will be quite excited about it, to sacrifice that red heifer against the ashes, right, and to mix it with the pure water from Jerusalem for the purification. That means their sacrifices and worship at the temple place will be ready. And of course, the altar was already made. It was ready. Just needed to be transported from somewhere in the Temple Institute there to the right spot, and they can do it. So you can see that these two signs are very, very unique for the last week. The covenant with many. And I believe there is almost no doubt, right? Do you have any doubt that Abraham accord is the fulfillment of that covenant for many, especially with the name Abraham? They call it Abraham, of all the names. The father of many nations, Abraham. And then the red heifer. After so many years, all of a sudden, here you are. You got even, not just one, you got five. So at least one out of five should be, remain perfect. So what do you think? When will the Lord come back? 20 years later? Two years or less, at least for us, because there's another 3.5 years for his open coming, but for his secret coming as a thief to rapture the first fruits, right, and the man-child. It will be perhaps less than 2 years. We dare not say for sure, 100%, right? How many percent do you think? You're the scientist, so. Right. If these two factors are indeed a fulfillment for Daniel 9:27, then it is less than 2 years. Right, it will be in here, if we are correct. Remember I said if, right? Don't forget the word if, okay, if. In case we are right, 2024 is a very important year. And everybody's talking about 2024 now, right? Right? Here in the States, 2024. Yeah. It's a big year. Right. So, let us be prepared. We have to be prepared. For the time is short. And this is why Peter talked about the Lord's coming, right? In the third chapter. Chapter 1, he showed us what we as God's people should do in order to make it, to have a rich entrance into the kingdom. And in chapter 2, he tells us and he warns us concerning a lot of false prophets and false teachers. You can see them everywhere, telling people this and that, and telling people, you don't need to be prepared, you're saved. You're born again. Are you born again? Yeah, you're a believer? No problem. You'll be taken up. Well, what kind of a teaching is that? That is definitely not in the Bible. You believe that? You're already born again. Are you a Christian? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? No problem. You'll be taken. Everybody believes that. No, if somebody says that to you, what kind of a prophet is he? Or what kind of a teacher? A false one. But he asked you to believe that Jesus is the Savior. He helped you to believe that Jesus is the Savior. Is that false?
It's true.
It's true, so why call him a false prophet?
It's just half true.
It's half truth. If it is half truth, that's no good. That is definitely not good. Because the gospel really is not just be saved and forgiven. The gospel is all the way to the kingdom. This is why in the New Testament it's called the gospel of the kingdom. In fact, that was the first phrase that John the Baptist and also the Lord and his disciples preached to the people. Repent, for you will go to heaven. No, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So the gospel is not just that you will receive the forgiveness of your sins and go to heaven. That is definitely not accurate. So today we have a problem with so many false prophets and false teachers. Well, already at the time of the apostles they have this. Even before the apostles' time, even in the Old Testament time, there are so many false prophets opposing the prophets of the Lord, telling them something different, telling the people and the king something different. And the Lord warned us. The Lord Jesus himself warned us of many false prophets and teachers that will be coming. Even at the time of the Lord himself, look at the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, the scribes, telling people something very different, turning them against Christ. Even at the time of the Lord Jesus, you think in our time, we don't have it. We don't have those kind of people. And the warning of Peter was so strong, you'll be surprised. I don't know who's going to share in chapter 2. Yeah. You need much grace to share in chapter 2. Right. This is what's happening today. Look at all the lies spreading, the so-called mainstream prophets, mainstream media. They're the false prophets, false political prophets, telling people lies. Right. So we need to see that Peter really had a burden for all of us to make it. And he's showing us the way to make it. Short and to the point. He didn't tell us so many other things. He said, if you do this, you will never stumble. You'll make it. And he showed us the way to have an abundant, rich entrance into the everlasting kingdom. And it is not very hard, just one chapter. Don't tell me I can't make it, it is too hard. No, one chapter. Can you memorize one chapter? No? Too hard? Rebecca memorized the one verse. Right. Add to your faith virtues. What else? Knowledge. What else? Self-control. What else? Perseverance. What else? Godliness. What else? Oh, brotherly love. And then the love of God. Wow. That's wonderful. It's very easy. Right? That means all of us can make it. Yeah. It is not hard. One chapter. And this is the last reminder of Peter. Remember, Peter knew that he was going to leave this world. He's going to be with the Lord. He's going to leave his earthly tabernacles. And he kept on saying, I'm reminding you, doing my best to remind you. There are so many things in the Bible, but the reminder is so much in his heart, and he made it and compressed it to one chapter, that if you take care of that one chapter, he guaranteed you, you'll not stumble, and you'll gain a rich entrance into the kingdom. So who wants to enter in? Of course we want to enter in. We want to enter in. So this is what it's all about. This is why 2 Peter is so important. It doesn't mean that 1 Peter is not important, but without the 2 Peter, something is lacking. Something very crucial is lacking. So may the Lord open our eyes and give us this burden. And I think the brothers will do a good job to fellowship with us concerning each point. Don't think it is a small point. The precious faith, for example. Right? Well, then let me start with the first sentence here, Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Right. A slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. When I started to read this verse, somebody's beating a drum. I thought to myself, Peter, why do you still call yourself Simon? Didn't the Lord change your name? Suppose you are Peter and the Lord changed your name from Simon, son of Jonah, to Peter. What would you call yourself from that time on? Peter? You sure? Especially if the Lord changed your name. You know, this is the first time that the Lord ever changed the name of a person in the New Testament. Peter. Right? And that must be very impressive to him. No wonder he can never remember that we are a living stone. We are stones. I don't think he'll ever forget, because in the Aramaic language, right, of course it was in Greek, Petros, it is definitely a stone, not a rock. Peter is not that great, that big, you know, a rock. Peter is just a small fisherman there, although he was one of the oldest, right, among his colleagues there. a stone. You're a stone. This is why in 1 Peter, he never forgot. We are all stones, and even the Lord himself is the chief cornerstone, he said, and the foundation stone. So he never forgot that. And I'm surprised. Why do you say you're Simon Peter? What do you think? He loved his former name so much. You're going to change your name, right? You know, after I changed my name back to So, I never went back to Chua. Because that's my real name. Now, when the Lord told him, you are Peter, and I will build my church upon the rock, that is forever inscribed in him. But why did he mention now Simon Peter? In 1 Peter, he didn't say that. But now here, he said that. There must be a reason. I wouldn't say that if I were Peter. But in these last years of my life, I don't think any one of us would like to look back in our life, right? In our former life, would you? Do you have a nice history behind you? You were born like the Lord, the Holy One. I remember, and I read Psalm 91 is another Psalm, 51. David wrote it because he committed a terrible sin. And he repented. He repented. And his repentance went back so far as to his mother's womb. Have you ever gone back so far? He said, I was born in sin already in my mother's womb. So when he committed that terrible sin, he went back all the way to remember that he was born in sin. And he said, only against you, O God, did I sin. It's not just against people, but most of all against God. You think he liked to remember that? But he was reminded by Nathan, the prophet. At first he said, oh, who is that guy that you're talking about? He was even saying, wow, what? That guy, oh, deserved to die, right? Nathan says, you are that guy. You are that person. That shocked him. He forgot. He even thought he was right. He even thought, well, I didn't kill that Uriah. He died in the war. He had a wonderful excuse for everything. Don't you have many times a wonderful excuse for your sins? No? I'm right. I didn't sense anything wrong. What did I do? No? Yeah? You too? Me too. Who else? When he remembers that, he really repented in such a way that nobody ever repented in such a way, because it deeply cut into his conscience and his heart. And he cried out to the Lord, cleanse me with hyssop, that I will be purified. I need to be purified. I need to change. I need to be transformed. It's not just a change of name. You know, it's very easy. I want to change my name. I just signed a piece of paper and it was done. But for the Lord to change you and me into a living stone, a precious stone, how long will it take? Are you totally changed now? How old are you? 30? 32. Are you completely changed? Oh, 32 years. You should be completely changed already into a precious stone. 32 years and not. And if you ask me, what about you, Grandpa? You're 80 years. Are you fully changed? I would say, excuse me. You think it is easy to change? When sin came into us, we became slave of sin. Paul says, wretched man that I am, although he was at the top among those in Judaism serving God. In Romans chapter 7, he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from the body of this death, from the body of sin? Right. So, you think Paul forgot everything of his past? It must have come back again and again, but praise the Lord for the precious blood. Praise the Lord that in the new covenant it says, and your sins, your iniquities, your unrighteousness will I remember no more. Yes, that's right. I believe that. But then I must not forget where I came from. Because there's still much remaining in me that the Lord has to do to finish the job. No? I heard somebody says a long time ago, oh, I'm 99% transformed. And the whole congregation was saying, wow! Everybody was saying, goodness sake, transformed from a caterpillar, not to a butterfly, but to a moth. That's what somebody I knew said. Wasn't transformed from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly, but to a moth. How can you be? Right. It's not proper. We walk by faith. Paul even said, not that I'm already perfected. Already, I haven't reached the goal yet. Even Paul said that. I couldn't believe it at that time when I was much younger. Paul, what do you say? You're not ready yet. You're not yet perfected. And you're pressing forward. And you knew so much. The person who wrote Philippians telling us he's not yet perfect. And this is why Peter, your Simon Peter, reminding us that he was Simon Peter, son of Jonah, born in the flesh. What is born of the flesh is flesh and remain flesh. Right. Be careful. But then, praise the Lord, we are born again of incorruptible seed. But it's just a seed that is planted. That seed needs to grow. Yes, it abides forever. It will never be gone and be corrupted. But the incorruptible seed is just in a seed form. And that we should desire the pure milk of the word as an adult. No, an adult person doesn't drink milk anymore, right? And I know you don't drink milk anymore because you're grown. Yeah, right? Even a doctor would tell you, you're too old to drink milk. If you do, you might get problem with your bones. Instead of promoting it, strengthening it, you might get problems. Right? So he said in First Peter, as a newborn babe, desiring the pure milk of the word. But that's just the beginning stage. Now in Second Peter, you're not drinking milk only. You need to be diligent. Diligent to grow. Diligent to keep on adding something that is needed. This is why we need a second epistle of Peter. So Peter is telling us, in this verse, Simon Peter. I really appreciate this. I don't think Peter will be mad at me if I by mistake call him, "Oh, hi, Brother Simon." He will say, "Oh, yeah, that's me." He might say, "That was me before." But you may call me Peter now. Because the Lord has to do more work. Yeah, you called the right song. Oh, sanctify me, Lord. The Lord has to sanctify us. And what Hebrews also said concerning our great heavenly high priest, who is able to what? Save to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost. Meaning to say that transformation work doesn't work overnight. And even if you have 80 years, if you don't cooperate, even 800 years, you will not be transformed if you're not cooperating with him, if you're not diligent. Diligent means you are all the time cooperating, willing to work together with him. How long did Enoch walk with God? 3 days? 30 days. 30 years. Huh? Do you have 300 years?
No.
So you have to be more diligent than Enoch. Somebody's laughing. You need to be more diligent than Enoch. How many times more diligent? Ah. Who is the calculator here? If he needed 300 years to walk with God and then he was taken, so how fast do we have to go on with the Lord? Huh? How much faster? 100 times. But now you only have 2 years. So how many more times? But we don't have that concept within us, do we? If the Lord is coming back and we are not transformed, not saved to the uttermost. And as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to be sanctified fully, completely, spirit, soul, and body. Right? And to be perfected, to be transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. What do you need? You need to behold his glory. How much do you behold his glory every day? What are you beholding? Right? We appreciate still so many things. Maybe not as much as before. But our desire to behold the glory of the Lord must increase in us. Lord, I want to behold your glory. With unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. And this is why the priesthood is so important. To remind you to gain Christ every day, right? Even when you're in the telephone and you want to get mad and, then the Lord will remind you, right? Jorge would say, yeah, that's right. Even working on a telephone, our brother could behold the glory of the Lord speaking to him, right? Just amazing, amazing. So, transformation is needed from glory to glory. Just some change is not good enough. No. To be transformed, that means something of Him more and more must be added into our being. No wonder Peter says, and grace and peace be with you, right? Did he say that? Multiply. Do you appreciate that word, multiply? In 1 Peter, what did he say in 1 Peter? Ah, you didn't know that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, grace and peace be with you all. But in second epistles, he says, grace and peace be multiplied. It is underlined. It is stressed. Because we need it. Not just some grace and some peace, but grace and peace be multiplied. How many times? I don't know. But how many times do you need grace and peace to be multiplied in your daily living? 150 times, right. Right, to catch up with Enoch. Otherwise you won't make it. And the apostles really have experienced that. They dare not be slothful. I dare not slothful be. Right. Because our time is so short. And we still have some ways to go. We are running the race. So this transformation, right, to be perfected. You know, we use this word so many times. Lord, I want to be perfected. Well, it takes time. It takes time. Yeah. Especially that Enoch. It takes time to grow. It takes time to grow. It takes time to keep on adding. You know, you cannot just add all the virtues in one big tank into your being. You don't have that capacity, I tell you. How much do you eat every day? Tons of food in order to grow fast. Feed Enoch with tons of milk every day so that he'll grow faster. So you even have to measure the milk, right? How much you feed Enoch, right? Not anymore, right? But at least the bottle is not this big. It is this big. Because you cannot add so much every day. You add a little bit and a little bit. We don't have capacity. But we need much, much grace to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to support us. This is why Peter used the word add, not multiply. But grace and peace be multiplied. But for the rest, it does not work so fast. Right. So praise the Lord for such a wonderful brother, from a fisherman to a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ, to an apostle. To an apostle, one sent by God, so useful for God's plan and purpose. He didn't say, I am the apostle. You know, I heard somebody says, well, I am the apostle. Oh, goodness. I mean, he's the only one. And I even heard, in every age, God used only one apostle. Well, okay, I didn't see that here. But did Paul say, I'm the apostle? Peter said, I'm the apostle. John says, I'm the, underlined three times and even highlighted. No, he's just one, an apostle. You know, when we say the apostle, we are referring to the Lord Jesus, the one sent by God directly. Just like what Hebrews chapter 2 says, he is the apostle and the great high priest of our faith. Nobody else can be called the nine. That means there should be many apostles. And many of us, even the younger ones, the Lord must send to you, to your friends and colleagues. Apostle means a sent one. But here an apostle used in the Bible is the sent one to carry out God's plan and purpose. Who else? How else is your colleagues at work going to know about the Lord? And you are there who knows the truth and the gospel, and you don't tell them. Do you have a desire to be an apostle? Apostle Aaron, you should say, amen. Lord, I want to be your apostle. Not the, okay? We all must have a desire to be sent by God. Doesn't mean you have to go to Africa. No, the Lord already has a lot of apostles there. But in your office, in Apple, how about that? Wherever the Lord sends you to work, you are an apostle. But you have to have a desire. Right? Lord, send me. Just like Isaiah, the Lord was asking, whom can I send? Even God was asking, who? Because God is not going to force you. But the Lord is asking who. He wants the volunteers. Praise the Lord. Wherever we are, all of us can be an apostle of the Lord. Sent by him, he put you there not to have a good job, but he sent you there apart from the good job. It is for his purpose. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven through us, through the many apostles. Wherever we are his slaves, we are his servants. We are his servants. Every one of us is a servant of the Lord. The only difference is the capacity. The measure of grace. Apart from that, there is no difference. A servant is a servant. Depends on what job the Lord gives you to do. Nevertheless, you are a servant. Depends also on how much talent the Lord gave the servant, according to Matthew chapter 25. Some with five, some with two, some with one, but it doesn't matter. We have to do our job. We are all servants of the Lord. But regardless, we need transformation. Just like Peter. So may the Lord impress upon us. Right. And what Peter wrote in 2 Peter is very important to prepare us for the Lord's coming. Please, go through it. Memorize it and pray over it. Ask the Lord to show us and give us light and understanding. Okay? Amen. Let's have some prayer.